Thanks to Brian for challenging us with this E.E. Cummings poem this morning. E.E. Cummings was a 20th century poet whose poems were considered avant-garde, daring experiments with language. Brian's setting beautifully captures the oddness of Cummings' word patterns. But why would we include it in our worship this morning? Critic Bethany Dumas remarks that Cummings' word patterns have the effect of jarring the reader, of forcing him to examine experience with new eyes. My personal hope is that every Sunday, God will open the eyes and ears of our hearts so that we may examine our experience with fresh eyes and find God therein, which is why we have challenged ourselves with this poem, so that we may look with fresh eyes. When God Lets My Body Be is a poem of resurrection, a poem which talks about the physicality of death and decay in a way that we might find rather ghoulish, but which is as much a part of life as the best, most physically alive activity that we can imagine. Cummings points out, as I turn the page, excuse me, tell I haven't done this for 3 months. Cummings points out that it is God who animates our bodies, and that when the time comes for the breath of God to leave us and let our bodies be, they decay, turn into soil, and act as fertilizer for trees and roses and food for birds. And when we eat the fruit of the trees, we enjoy the roses and the birds touch us. We touch the essence of love. This is the way of life. Food is necessary for life, and all food comes from death. Even the most basic plants get their life from the sun, which is gradually burning up, and in the process of burning, producing the heat and light which plants use for photosynthesis. It is not too much of a stretch then to say that life on earth depends on the dying of the sun. It is a slow death, estimated to take 7 to 8 billion years, but at some time the energy of the sun will be exhausted. The sun will be dead. God is the creator and animator of life, and so God too is the creator of death. Yet death itself produces life. Our faith is based on this simple truth. In Jesus' death, we find hope. But it's not just his death, it's also his resurrection, of course. Today's gospel reading about the resuscitation of Lazarus is important to remind us that Jesus has power over even death. But once he came back to life, Lazarus was still mortal. This was not a resurrection in the same way as Jesus' resurrection, which leads to immortality and to his promise that we too will join him in the next dimension. Today we celebrate All Saints and All Souls, the great festivals of fall as the light wanes and the days grow shorter. We remind ourselves of death and resurrection by thinking about those who have gone before. We remind ourselves of the heritage that we share in the communion of saints. This has been a year of loss. Several of us in just the last few months have lost parents. Annie Cantor's father, Barbara's stepfather, and Betsy's mother, who lived in Los Osos for almost 50 years and died a few days after her 105th birthday. Not to mention companion animals who we've lost, Smokey, Chewy, and Cat, to mention just a few. We have lost those who have died, and we have lost those who have moved away from us physically or emotionally. And it's always hard to be here at the moment and see that the Hayeses are not sitting here. Yeah, they were founding members of the church and they've moved to be closer to family, and that for us is a deep loss. The pandemic has changed the way we live, and in the process has weakened ties of friendship, since we cannot be so easily together. And we've had to make hard choices about distancing and staying safe in bubbles. We have lost our easy way of being church together. And many of us have had significant changes in health or in jobs and are grieving for the way that life used to be. I doubt that anyone in this room or joining us from home has been untouched by grief this year. And it's okay to grieve. Grieving is part of the human experience. In today's gospel, we heard that Jesus himself wept. As much as we may be mentally comfortable and accepting of death and of change, grief for those we have lost and for what we have lost is normal and natural. And the more quickly that we accept that grief as part of the process of living, the more easily we can let it go. Presumably, in today's gospel reading, Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus, but he still experienced grief. It was all around him. It must have been overwhelming, and he just accepted it and let himself cry. We can speculate on the grief that he may have been feeling as he approached his death and the horrors of the cross. Perhaps that was what started the tears. We don't know. But just as we try to imitate Jesus in love and service, so we can also allow ourselves to imitate him in expressing our grief naturally. And we know that Jesus faced a death anxiety in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating blood before his arrest. Death anxiety is something that so many of us face as we experience the deaths of friends and family and loved ones around us. How will it be for me? Will I be in pain? Will I be alone? And of course, we just don't know. But we don't need to stop there, caught in the anxiety. Grief and loss are only part of the story. We are resurrection people. We are resurrection people who know that when God lets our bodies be, life continues, not just in trees, roses, and birds, but in the coming and already present reign of God. Cummings says, "All the while shall my heart be with the bulge and nuzzle of the sea." We know that our hearts and souls are not in the sea, not drops in a vast ocean of consciousness, but held in sacred trust by the living God. In our New Testament reading, we heard the amazing and inspiring words of St. John the Divine. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" This is our hope. No, not only will death be no more, but also mourning and crying and pain. And we are connected to the saints who have gone before us. Each one has contributed to our well-being, to the well-being of life on this earth. Each one has done so by loving God and their neighbor to the best of their ability. When we worship God, especially when we worship God together, we're not alone. It's not just us here. We are joining in their worship. We are linked with them in the great cosmic song of praise and thanksgiving. In a moment, after we've renewed our baptismal vows and reminded ourselves that we too are part of that body of Christ, that communion of saints, we're going to honor those who join with us in that mystical communion as we see some of their faces and as we read some of their names together. Many of these people are those who have built this church, loving and serving God in this expression of the body of Christ. Others are family members who we love and care for and experience as part of our own body as well. We honor these people, not just as those who have lived and loved and passed on, but as siblings in Christ, some of whom walk the path with us today. I should have said, as some of those who walk the path today, like there's more than just the ones that we're going to honor this morning. Because the writer to the Hebrews wrote, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we are saints living life in this dimension. They are the saints living the same life of love, surrender, and service in the next dimension. And together with Christ, we are co-creating the new heaven and the new earth. We live in hope that even as things in this life, in this world, are changing, and life as we know it is threatened, and we seem powerless to stop it, even then we are not alone, because we are beloved of the God who walks every step of the way with us. And we are connected to the great communion of saints, working to create that new heaven, that new earth. Good things are happening, and we are part of the future, where the saints will rise in glory. We are the resurrection people.